I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 28th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Christian nationalism. The following is taken from the homepage of christiangovernance.ca. It is apparently operated by Tim Blodow of Canada. It begins, "All government is based on a worldview and beliefs about what government is and what it should be. You can have Islamic governance, humanistic governance, Jewish governance, Hindu governance, etc. And you can have Christian governance. There is no such thing as neutrality. Superficial thinking has confused peace, tolerance, pluralism, multiculturalism, and similar ideas with neutrality. But there is no such thing as neutrality." Tim, if superficial thinking has confused all the things you listed above with neutrality, how is it possible for there to be no such thing as neutrality? That statement makes no logical sense whatsoever. He continues, "Judeo-Christian political theory is unique in its hostility to totalitarianism." Tim, rather than taking your word for that, I'm sure you won't mind if we take a minute to verify that, will you? Let's see, totalitarianism. Oh yeah, here's the definition as taken from the Merriam-Webster's online dictionary. Number one, centralized control by an autocratic authority. Number two, the political concept that the citizen should be totally subject to an absolute state authority. According to that definition, Judeo-Christian political theory is as totalitarian as it is possible to be, in that it requires the citizen to be totally subject to the absolute authority of its ancient holy scriptures as enforced by the government it controls. So the only hostility that has ever been demonstrated by Judeo-Christian political powers toward totalitarianism are to those totalitarian regimes different than the totalitarian regime that Christians want to impose. He said Christian governance and Christian governance alone is anti-tyrannical. Tim, I would say that the Founding Fathers were anti-tyrannical when they revolted against King George III, and they made it clear that they wanted secular governance, not Christian governance. That disproves your claim without even going into all the other examples of non-Christian civilizations down throughout history who have revolted against tyrants. Come on, at least put up a fight. This is like beating up on a retard. He continues, "God has designated multiple governments for a just and functioning social order: civil government, church government, family government, and self-government." Tim, ignoring the fact that you can't even prove that your invisible ghost exists, how do you know God has designated governments? And that brings up a few questions. If God designated governments as you claim, why did he designate Nazi Germany, the reign of Pol Pot, Mao? Why did God designate church governments that worship other gods, like Islam, in direct violation of the First Commandment? Why did God designate family governments in which half end up in divorce? Is that the best your God can do? 50%? Where in the Bible does God designate self-government? Or are you just making that up? He continues, "Such division of authority and diffusion of power mitigates against political centralism and tyranny." Tim, anarchy accomplishes the same thing. He said, "With the rise in the influence of humanism in Canada and the West, this division of authority is disappearing. Tim, get out a pencil and scribble this down. Religion divides. Wherever you go in the world, no matter what religion you are referring to, the sole resort of religious belief is to divide and to set humans against each other. It is not the division of authority that is disappearing. It is the division of people that is disappearing, as humanism struggles to unite humanity in the face of 2,000 years of religious tyranny. He continues, humanism wants all of life subsumed under the state, and Islam sees the mosque as the central organizing principle for all of life. Both of these worldviews are incompatible with a free and democratic social order. Tim, as a Christian, the last thing you are interested in is a free and democratic social order. Everyone knows the goals of Christian fundamentalists like you because you have made them clear. You want a Christian nation, a theocracy. You want exactly the same thing as Saudi Arabia has, only you have a different ghost, or I mean three ghosts. I think I get the picture now. You also believe in three branches of government. The executive branch, which will be ruled by God the Father, who will replace our Constitution with the Ten Commandments. And as the Commander-in-Chief, he will be responsible for all military operations against Allah and the Muslims. The legislative branch, which will be under the watchful eye of Jesus himself as he presides over both houses of Congress. And the judicial branch will obviously fall under the jurisdiction of the Holy Ghost, since neither Jesus nor God are allowed to judge anyone. What did I mean by that? Turning to John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Three chapters later, in John 8:15, Jesus himself speaking, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." He continues, "The mission of Christian governance is to teach and train Christians to understand the biblical worldview as well as competing worldviews." Tim, you people do everything in your power to keep Christians ignorant of other religious beliefs, of history, and of all fields of science, and you have been remarkably successful at that. He said, "And to help Christians translate this understanding into a faithful lifestyle and a compelling witness in this world. This is our apologetics work." Tim, like Islam, Christianity was a lot more compelling when they used force, like they did in the Crusades, during witch burnings, Inquisition, slavery, etc. He said, "We also have an active role with Canadian governments, submitting briefs and recommendations for law and public policy, and making the case for the lordship of Christ and the abiding relevance of God's law for the 21st century in Canada." Tim, your attempts to turn Canada into a Christian nation has been well documented in the book, The Armageddon Factor, The Rise of Christian Nationalism in Canada, by Marcy MacDonald. There can be no lordship of Christ, nor relevance for God's law, because neither of your invisible ghosts have ever shown their faces to any recording device. All we have to go on is the word of clergy, who claim to know the mind of God. You couldn't base a government on anything worse. And now we move to the science segment. The most distant galaxy ever measured, a faint glow from when the universe was only 600 million years old. A European team of astronomers using the European Space Observatory's Very Large Telescope has measured the distance to the most remote galaxy so far. By carefully analyzing the very faint glow of the galaxy, they have found that they are seeing it when the universe was only about 600 million years old, a redshift of 8.6. These are the first confirmed observations of a galaxy whose light is clearing the opaque hydrogen fog that filled the cosmos at this early time. The results were presented at an online press conference with the scientists October 19, 2010, and appeared in the October 21st issue of the journal Nature. Matt Leonard from the observatory in Paris, who is the lead author of the paper reporting the results, says, using the European Space Observatory's Very Large Telescope, we have confirmed that a galaxy spotted earlier using Hubble is the most remote object identified so far in the universe. Studying these first galaxies is extremely difficult. By the time that their initially brilliant light gets to Earth, they appear very faint and small. Furthermore, this dim light falls mostly in the infrared part of the spectrum because its wavelength has been stretched by the expansion of the universe, an effect known as redshift. To make matters worse, at this early time, less than a billion years after the Big Bang, the universe was not fully transparent, and much of it was filled with a hydrogen gas fog that absorbed the fierce ultraviolet light from the young galaxies. The period when the fog was still being cleared by this ultraviolet light is known as the era of reionization. Despite these challenges, the new Wide Field Camera 3 on the NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope discovered several robust candidate objects in 2009 that were thought to be galaxies shining in the era of reionization. Confirming the distances to such faint and remote objects is an enormous challenge and can only reliably be done using spectroscopy from very large ground-based telescopes by measuring the redshift of the galaxy's light. Matt Leonard takes up the story. After the announcement of the candidate galaxies from the Hubble, we did a quick calculation and were excited to find that the immense light collecting power of the VLT, when combined with the sensitivity of the infrared spectroscopic instrument, Sinfoni, and a very long exposure time, might just allow us to detect the extremely faint glow from one of these remote galaxies and to measure its distance. On special request to ESO's Director General, they obtained telescope time on the VLT and observed a candidate galaxy called UDFY-381-35539 for 16 hours. After 2 months of very careful analysis and testing of the results, the team found that they had clearly detected the very faint glow from hydrogen at a redshift of 8.6, which makes this galaxy the most distant object ever confirmed by spectroscopy. A redshift of 8.6 corresponds to a galaxy seen just 600 million years after the Big Bang. Co-author Nicole Nesvadba sums up this work. Measuring the redshift of the most distant galaxy so far is very exciting in itself, but the astrophysical implications of this detection are even more important. This is the first time we know for sure that we are looking at one of the galaxies that cleared out the fog which had filled the very early universe. One of the surprising things about this discovery is that the glow from this galaxy seems not to be strong enough on its own to clear out the hydrogen fog. Co-author Mark Swinbank from Durham University explains, there must be other galaxies, probably fainter and less massive nearby, companions of UDFY, which also help make the space around the galaxy transparent. Without this additional help, the light from the galaxy, no matter how brilliant, would have been trapped in the surrounding hydrogen fog, and we would not have been able to detect it. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we go to Great Britain, where Muslim pupils learn to cut off hands of thieves. It has been disclosed that Muslim children at a network of Islamic schools are being taught how to chop off thieves' hands, and that Jews are plotting to take over the world. Up to 5,000 pupils attending weekend schools across Britain are being exposed to textbooks claiming that some Jews were transformed into pigs and apes, and that some offenses could be punished with stoning. One book for six-year-olds warns that those who do not believe in Islam will be condemned to hellfire in death. Another text for 15-year-olds teaches that thieves who break Sharia law should have their hands cut off for a first offense and their feet amputated for a subsequent crime. Teenagers are presented with diagrams showing where the cuts should be made. Tonight's panorama on BBC One will claim that the books were discovered at a network of 40 private schools teaching the Saudi Arabian national curriculum. The program claims to have uncovered evidence apparently linking the schools to the Saudi embassy. Officials at the embassy deny any link. Panorama also found examples of private Muslim schools using extremist sentiments on their websites. Michael Gouveia, the education secretary, said last night that extremism, homophobia, and anti-Semitism would not be tolerated in schools. However, researchers claimed in a separate report that the education system was not equipped to deal with the threats posed by extremist organizations. The Policy Exchange think tank said the coalition's new free schools run by parents, teachers, and charities could be exploited by organizations seeking to indoctrinate young people. It also claimed that checks on groups running private schools were piecemeal, partial, and lacked depth. Mr. Gouveia said Ofsted had been ordered to monitor part-time education providers closely. The schools featured on Panorama were apparently organized under an umbrella group called Saudi Students Clubs and Schools in the UK and Ireland. They give Muslim children aged 6 to 18 a grounding in the Islamic faith. According to the BBC, a book for 15-year-olds teaches about Sharia law and its punishments. For acts of sodomy, children are told that the penalty is death. A textbook says there are different views on whether this should be done by stoning or burning with fire or throwing over a cliff. Textbooks for 15-year-olds revive the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which teach that Jews want world domination. In a statement, the Saudi embassy said any tutoring activities that may have taken place among any other group of Muslims in the United Kingdom are absolutely individual to that group and not affiliated to or endorsed by the Royal Embassy of Saudi Arabia. The Saudi ambassador told the BBC it was dangerously deceptive and misleading to discuss some of the text outside of context. My closing comment. Yeah, the old out-of-context excuse. Christians try to use that one all the time, too. Let me ask a quick question. In what context is it okay to stone someone to death, throw them off a cliff, or execute them by burning? Civilized humans don't do any of those things to their worst criminals. You people do those things to people who don't even qualify as criminals. For the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Thomas Hobbes, born 1588, died 1679 at the age of 91. That's pretty good for those days. He was an English philosopher, remembered today for his work on political philosophy. His 1651 book, Leviathan, established the foundation for most of Western political philosophy from the perspective of social contract theory. Hobbes was a champion of absolutism for the sovereign, but he also developed some of the fundamentals of European liberal thought. For instance, the right of the individual, the natural equality of all men, the artificial character of the political order, which led to the later distinction between civil society and the state, and the view that all legitimate political power must be representative and based on the consent of the people. Also, a liberal interpretation of law which leaves people free to do whatever the law does not explicitly forbid. Hobbes also contributed to a diverse array of fields, including history, geometry, physics of gases, theology, ethics, general philosophy, and political science. His account of human nature as self-interested cooperation has proved to be an enduring theory in the field of philosophical anthropology. He was one of the key founders of materialism in philosophy. And now for the quote from Thomas Hobbes. Fear of things invisible is the natural seed of that which everyone in himself calleth religion.
Are you ready, Greece? Start walking.